Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Cult of SMMI. If you haven't done so already, please go back and listen to episode 1, because quite honestly, this isn't going to make a lot of sense. Secondly, all of this goes under the umbrella of allegedly. I myself have personally had no dealings with the Cult of SMMI. If a member of the Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate would like to come on the show and defend their stance, I am more than welcome to have them on. What we are recounting is Michael Kovacs's experience with SMMI. If you have been a member or have a family member that's been a member of the SMMI, please reach out to me, strangepathwaysmail@gmail.com. Now, you're saying your mother didn't really attempt to do anything. Did at any point, did you, other family members, did you ever attempt to intervene or persuade your sister to leave? How did...
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Again, it's almost like the laity, the religious, or the, well, it's like anything, really, different tribes, right? So we didn't know, like, you couldn't see behind the curtain. So from my perspective, here I am, a guitar player at Rutgers University studying economics, and there's a religious order. There's two different islands. Like, there's no connection, so they're going to do what they're going to do. I didn't know how it worked, and you didn't really know how it worked on the inside. Pieces fell into place later, but not in the moment. It was something like, case in point, my sister was always kind of, well, I'll say husky. I'll put that. But not, you know, she was overweight in the sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. So when this started, like when she got into this thing before she took her final vows, which is where you sealed the deal, I saw a photo years later. I vaguely remember this. she weighed nothing. Like, she was like starved. Like, she was whippet thin. I was like, cause I saw the phone, I was like, holy crap. I'm like, what happened? And then memories came back. I was like, yeah, man. Then again, the puzzle pieces fall into place. So she was initiated into other cults. She was starved. She was beaten from what I can figure, but that I don't know. But I know she was because she was stick thin. I've never seen her that thin at any point in my life before or since then. I mean, she was rail thin. So they starved. Now, other women were razor thin, and I figured out why later. So then I just put the pieces together. So at the time, I think what you're asking about is this. Did we question the religious authority before us? And the answer is no, because you're not kind of allowed to do that, right? Like, how dare you question this, a religious leader? You just don't do that. You don't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're kind of screwed. So I was like, well, I'm just going to, I'm out, you know, does that make sense?
Absolutely. I grew up Lutheran.
That's wondering. Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that explains why people are like, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you do anything? Well, we didn't do anything because you didn't question, because it wasn't your world, and they, in theory, had a higher spiritual function than you did. So you're just like, well, that's their world. I guess they know.
Let's shift our view over to the Sisters mm-hmm. Minor of Mary Immaculate. What okay. was their public face?
Oh, their public face. That's a good question. I mean, they were started in Rome, and their public face that's a great question. See, that's the one thing that used to drive me bonkers, because their public face, because normally in any religious order, at least in Catholic, I'm assuming any Christian one, you do something. You teach, you take care of the poor, the homeless, you run a hospital, something, or if you're cloistered, you have a little area and you stay behind the cloistered walls and you pray and you take care of the farm, blah, blah. That all makes logical sense. But when people would ask me, what does your sister do? I could not answer them. All I knew is she was flying around everywhere. All the time she'd be flying to Rome, flying to France. Like, I don't know what she does. It wasn't like, I'm like, yes, she's a teacher. I had no idea. And it was very weird. I think their public face, I think some of them did teach. I think they taught religious education and maybe taught in schools. But it was, honest to God, dude, that it took me so long to kind of figure that out. Because it was, I think, after the fact that I figured it out. But during, I'm like, I don't know what she does. You know, there's something else you kind of need to know, which will tie into this, is my mother ignoring the warning sign, swallowed the bait full with my dad in tow. And then they wound up, I'm sure they gave him thousands and thousands of dollars. And young recruits to the order would come through the house, through my parents' house on the weekends, like from Friday through Monday or Friday through Sunday. So I'd see this rotating cast of women coming through the house. And I was like, I just didn't want to be there. I mean, it's so funny. Like, normally people would be like, yeah, is that partying? No, I didn't know drugs or alcohol in my 20s. So I was like sober. But I was like, I don't remember it either. But that's not the point. But I was like, but these people came, these women would come through. And I knew they were like novitiates, women who had girls or young women or whatever who were trying this thing out to see if they liked it, right? That's all I knew. But I knew that they get lodging and food, and I'm sure cash exchanged hands, you know, my parents and my sister. So there was this pipeline. My parents' house became a pipeline. That's integral to the rest of the story. But so I just grew up around it. I just grew around this thing and trying to ignore it as much as I could. And while my mom would say she kind of hated it, she didn't stop it. She kept it going. Mm-hmm. So that's how this familiarity with them and the whole thing happened. So their public face was, I don't know, dude. I mean, I'm guessing teaching, because I know that, and I'm guessing teaching. That's all you mean is teaching. That's all I remember anybody doing.
From my research, you know, you have the standard vows that whenever somebody joins a monastery,
sure.
You know, you have the vow of poverty, you have the vow of chastity. But it did seem that the Sisters Minor of Mary Immaculate had this very unique fourth vow. And they had a pledge to be at God's disposal without reserve for the greatest glory of God through the salvation of all in Jesus Christ. So there was this very unique fourth vow, but finding anything outside of the allegations is almost impossible.
You're right.
The Wikipedia article is six lines long.
Well, if you get a chance, go to the talk page. Did I tell you that?
Yes, yes.
Their new one is now six lines. That thing has been written and rewritten like over a dozen times, at least, over the years. Because I think I know who it is. We'll get to her later. But someone, it's got to be the one person. Well, no, there could be others. But I think it's one. I think it could be the woman, the other member of the cult that lives with my sister in my deceased mom's house. I think she's the one, because she was the youngest one that I knew of, so she's probably internet savvy. Mm-hmm. So she may have gone and do it. But there are enough people afraid. There were enough people afraid of Patrizzi to kind of work, but I think it's her. It's got to be, because there's nobody. But no, there's no, they're, dude, their footprint is impossible. You're right. I mean, it's like you go Google them, you're like, I don't know. That's, yeah, so you're not wrong. You'd think there'd be a long one. You'd have to know a couple things to maybe get a couple of points, but they were very good at scrubbing.
Yeah.
Scrubbing the internet. Very good. Like, creepily good.
At what point do the allegations start to emerge?
To them or to, that I found them out? For them, when did they start coming out?
Yes. For the SMMI.
Oh, the SMMI, I think. And it had to be, well, it had to be, actually, if you think, now that I think about it, in the 80s, because my mom wrote the letter saying, hey, look, you know, I got a back to this order. So priests already knew something was weird back pre-88, right? So already before that, there was talk, right? There was something was up, that people knew something was wrong. So then I'm assuming, so that's a good question. So something was percolating, at least then, okay? At least it was percolating, but I'm assuming definitely in the 90s from the stories that I heard. Because, definitely the 90s stuff was coming out, and then as they expanded more stuff came out, but it got squashed by the bishops, and it got squashed by the clergy. So the stuff was coming out all, you know, definitely talk was happening. Now, again, this is all in Rome, so I have no idea. So definitely in the 80s, there was talk. So if there's talk, if there's smoke, there's fire. 90s, definitely. From what I heard from what some of the survivors told me, yeah, definitely 90s onward. So yeah, but no, but it was female abuse to another female in a convent. So from my experience, and I do hate to say this, but it's true, because it was female on female, and there was no, it was female on female, and there were no minors that I know of who came. There were minors in there, but they didn't come forward. It didn't matter, because my guess and my firm belief is that there was going to be no lawsuit. But when I went to the diocese about this stuff, they didn't care. They literally did not care. So if they didn't care about me, they weren't going to care about the nuns. But that's later that I found out about that.
Now, you've also been in contact with, I don't want to say a handful, but you've definitely been in contact with a few members of the SMMI, who were horribly abused. We're talking physical abuse, emotional abuse, withholding of nutrients, withholding of sleep, which you want to break somebody, withhold them from sleep, separating them from their families, embezzlement of private funds.
That's just the start.
That is the start.
I mean, just to jump ahead, like the Huffington Post uncovered, well, they fine-tuned it, the stuff I knew, but they're talking of like, what happens when you take currency illegally from one country to another? What is that called?
Would you call that, you know, laundering? Yeah,
it was something. So yeah, they did that. I wound up. Well, do you want to know how I found the survivors, or do
please
you want
do?
Me, or do you want to wait? Do you want to do it? Yeah. Well, this is going to uncoil. So forgive me, but what happened was on January 24th of 2011. I was at a friend's house. And I get a call that my mom from my middle sister, like, oh yeah, mom's having a stroke. And I was like, and he was a doctor, so he's like, I was like, no, she's fine. She's talking. She's fine. So I just fly down there, and my mom's like sitting up and she's talking. I'm like, it's not that bad. And I guess I'm gonna. So I took the so. The ambulance is going to arrive, and she was okay. She was upright, you know, but something was, you could guess something was wrong. She was having a stroke. So they asked me to take the dog for a walk, this lovely Boston Terrier. And I didn't know at the time, but when I was taking the Boston Terrier for a walk, I took it literally around the block. And then when I was making the final right-hand turn, I was entering hell. Like, I did not know that, but I turned the corner and I remember seeing it. I went, it was just this, the ambulance was there. They were bringing my mom out, and I did not know I was literally going to be entering hell. I had no idea, but that was the last moment of my life, my old life. It was going to change forever. So my mom goes to the hospital. I'll try to knit stuff together. But so my mom goes to the hospital, and she's doing okay. You know, everything's fine. The SMMI had fractured several years prior, and now there was a rogue contingent of them, and they were trying to make my mom's house into like a convent, a place for them to stay. Patrizzi had splintered off into a new group, right? That's another story we'll get to later. So Teresa and this other woman were living at the house the whole time, and they were trying to fix it up. And it was weird because I remember going like, why are they fixing it? I mean, you know, why are they doing it? It seemed like a hostile takeover. Like, it was what it was, a takeover. But I'm like, I can't do anything. You know, like I'm married. I got a life. I can't. I'm doing what I can. So we're at the hospital, and then my mom's doing okay. But we're wondering, like, oh man, if this thing doesn't get better, she's going to need full time care. Okay. So my middle sister and I were talking, and I'm like, yeah, we're going to have to sell the house. Right. We were, yeah. Okay. We'll throw whatever money we can do, but she's going to need, if she needs it, this is what's going to have to happen. Well, when we told Teresa that, hey, you know, look, you know, if mom can't take care of herself and she needs full-time care, we have to sell the house to pay for the care. Scott, I promise you, it was like the gates of hell just flew wide open when she found out about that, because I cannot describe what I was like. The war had begun. Like I woke up and I'm in the middle of a trench on a battlefield. I had no idea what was going on. Like, I'm just, yeah, literally that's what happened. I woke up in a trench in a battlefield, not knowing what to do because of what followed. So my middle sister and I were trying to track the money. Like, what money does mom have? You know, we gotta get her. She needs help. We can't track the money. We don't have power of attorney. We try to get power of attorney. We can't do it. We go to the bank. We get turned down. Weird stuff is happening. Like, strange stuff is happening. Like, and Teresa's with my sister like way too much and grinding her down, but she's dressed as a nun so she can get like any access she wants. So that was January 24th, right? This starts. So then February, you know, my middle sister and I were scrambling for details, trying to find out we were pretty sure that money had been moved. Like, money was missing. Stuff was happening. And we were tantalizingly close to getting the information, but we were getting blocked because we didn't have power of attorney. So at the end of January, it's decided that my mom's in rehab, right? So she's in rehab at a nice place. And it's decided, I'm skipping over a bunch of things, we'll come back there, but it's decided that I will be given power of attorney. I'm like, fine, it's not used. My mom is compos mentis. So mm-hmm. Who needs, yeah, right? Who needs a power of attorney? You're fine. You can.
Right, right. Able to sign your own papers.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's so I can pick up the medicine.
Pretty much. Yeah. You know, and I can maybe check the bank balances, but that's it. But so it's kind of like an honorary thing, right? So this is the weird part. The first one weird part. So it's 3 days after my birthday. It's a Friday. It's beginning of March of 2011. And so there's a meeting to happen on the Friday night before. Friday night, like, with the lawyer and my two sisters and my mom at the place where I will be given power of attorney. That's the idea. So Friday afternoon, I go there to visit my mom. I go to, I think, every day or as many days as I could, right? So I go there and I go to the room where my mom is, and I walk in, and, you know, and I've got a button up shirt on. I got a tie. I have dress shoes on. I mean, I'm not looking, I mean, I have long hair and stuff, and it happened. I'm not looking, you know, like, homeless or something. I'm looking for someone respectable, a little quirky, but respectable. I go in the room and there's a woman by the bed. And this woman is in a business suit and she gets up and she turns and I'm like, oh, hello. You know, and she looks at me with like daggers. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, what did I do? Like, it looked like I was like the most horrible human being. I go to my mom, and my mom will now not look at me in the face. I'm like, hey, mom, what's going on? I'm like, what's up? She will not look at me in the eyes. She's averting her eyes. I'm like, okay, so, I just came by to say hi. I want to talk. Well, then she won't say anything. And I'm like, okay, well, All right. Well, I'll see you tonight. For the signing. Okay. You know, I'll stop by after my lesson. I'm coming right from. I'll be right here on time. And my mom will not look at me. I will not talk to him. Like, okay. So I'm coming. So now I'm all full of hope. I'm like, we got this. You know, I'm going to have power of attorney. Things will change. Like things, I'll have the power. I can now get my mom help. I can now get my mom, between my middle sister and I, we can get my mom the best care she can. This is good. This is it. I promised my dad in his death that I'd take care of my mom so he could leave. And I'm doing my job. I'm doing what I promised on the death, but cool. So I get there and I'm getting out of the car and I'm like, this is great. Now I go for my last guitar lesson to the rehab center. So I'm getting out of my car and I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, all like, I'm amped. I'm like, yeah, we got this. You know, I'm like, yeah, almost like a bad 80s movie. We got this. You know, I'm so pumped. Which inevitably means what's going to happen, Scott? What happens when the character does that?
The hammer comes down.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, mm-hmm. The big hammer comes down. So I get there, and then there's the lawyer. And I won't mention his name. And he's there. Mr. Kathy's there. Teresa's there. And her sidekick, I won't mention her name either, but Teresa has had she must have been barely 18. This girl that was like her sidecar from the moment she was in the cult to this day, she's still there, but she was there. But I'm like, oh, we got this. My mom's going to sign it. I'm going to, this is great. It's going to be great. So we have this long table. I'm at one end. The lawyer's at the other. And my middle sister's on my left. Teresa's on my right. And the lawyer's like, okay, well, if there are any questions or anything need to be added before I go and have a, Mary inside the document. I'm like, nope, fine. No, I'm great. I'm like, it's great. It's like, I'm getting a power of attorney. It's been great. You know, it's good. So he left. And then this shows, well, take this for what it is and extrapolate at your own time. The three of us did not talk to each other. And then something happened in that room that should have warned me. Now I know I didn't back then. Is Teresa was on my right, like 5-6 feet away. It's a long table, and she's dead still. It's like working at it's like looking at a guitar sitting on a stand. Actually, not that. Guitars are nice. It's like looking at a lamppost. It's not, it's stock still. She's not saying a word, and she's molecular. And I went, all right. Well, I mean, I'm like, I'm jazzed because I'm agreeing to my middle sister and I were just like, hey, you know, we're just talking, you know, we're trying to, like, it was weird. Teresa was not talking. So, and this is taking way longer. Like, it's where, like, it should have been like 7 minutes. Lawyer goes in, has her sign, reads the thing, has it. But I go, wait, what the hell is going on? And then he comes back after like maybe like 20 minutes or something insane. You ever see a table? No one's talking in a room. That's a long time. He comes back in, and then my world literally just is destroyed. He goes, your mother has changed her mind. She has made Teresa, and maybe Kathy, I've got, but I was no longer in the picture and Teresa had some power. And I literally, at that moment, I had a psychological breakdown. Like I just literally, I just became my whole frame of reality cracked. And I was like, what happened? Like, wow. Like, what happened? It turns out here's what had happened. Teresa had been calling the nursing home incessantly and my mom would pick up and keep her on the phone begging with her, pleading with her, mom, don't let Mike have it. Don't. So when I walked in the room that afternoon and there was that woman there in the business suit who gave me a look like I was like Pol Pot. It turned out my mother, she had co-signed a letter with my mother or witnessed a letter of my mother stating that I was an absolute scumbag, a horrible person, and should never be allowed to be a power of attorney because I was such a horrible, disgusting human being. So that's why the woman gave me that look on the way out, because my mother had just stated that in a letter and the woman had witnessed the thing. So that made me ineligible. So when the lawyer went to the room, my mother gave him that letter. The witness in the room to co-sign was the sidecar cult person that my sister had under her thumb. It was rewritten for Terry Vanpoint. The sidecar person co-signed it, and that was it. So I was set up.
Wow.
So wow. My mother had absolutely betrayed me, and I had let down how I'd felt was my mother had totally betrayed me, and I'd let down my father's dying wish. So that's when I literally psychically cracked. Like I just literally, I can't even describe it. I remember just, I must have looked like a train wreck, but I just got, my middle sister's like, you okay? I'm like, I'm gone. Goodbye. And I called let me roll it back. When Patrizzi split with the SMMI, there was a faction of these women that I knew. Like, I knew these women, and some of them were very nice and very lovely and very kind to me. And I loved them to death. So I'd visit them in Connecticut, and they were, again, they loved me to no end, and I loved them back. And they never judged me. They were very sweet. So I was leaving, and I was driving out, and I had a guitar lesson to get to. So something happened in between the drive, like, something in my brain just shut, like something cut down. So I literally thought, by the time I somehow arrived at the lesson, and it was a lovely student, she was just so lovely, it's the darling bird. My brain kind of like had simply shut down, and I was like, okay, you're dead. Now, you're dead now, but you have to somehow figure out how to, it's almost like a Groundhog Day thing. If you get the day right, you get to move on, but you're dead. Like, you're dead. You're not here. It's like, it's very strange. So I taught the student and I got through it. And then I had to come home. I mean, I was a wreck. And my poor wife was freaking out, but I had a gig the next day. So I was packing gear for the next day, you know, and I'm like, okay, if I do this just right, I'll move on to the next phase of existence. It's very hard to explain.
I will say there are situations that I've been in my life where I wasn't the same person half an hour into it, you know, as, you know, whenever I walk out. Whenever I took my mom to her first chemotherapy right. session, I wasn't the same person I was whenever I walked out.
Right.
After my mom died and I find out that I'm homeless, in the same half hour, I wasn't the same person. So no, I understand that. I understand that very, and I hope nobody ever has to go through that, but I'm sure we're not the last.
It's horrible. Oh, it's horrible. I mean, it's the worst thing ever. I wish I was. I wish I was the last of any of this. One of the reasons I'm talking to you trying to get this news out there, and this will probably come up again, but the worst, absolute worst feeling of my life. I mean, I've suffered the deaths of my mom and my dad and so many friends and so much else. The worst feeling was in the middle of all this, years later, when nobody would believe me and I could talk to nobody. Like the feeling of alone where no one can relate to you, when you really feel like no one knows you. But that's the idea, is like your life as you know it is gone. So the next day I did a gig, and it's the prologue to my, it's the first part of my book. Not the yearbook you expected. And it literally is, I really thought I was in the afterlife. I'm driving there, I got the GPS, like I said, GPS in the afterlife. But it really felt that way. I was getting dead. I'm
getting through there. Please join us again next week for episode 3. If you or a member of your family have been a member of SMMI, please reach out to us. We do want to hear from you. StrangePathwaysMail@gmail.com. Thank you. Have a safe... Blah, blah. Thank you and have a wonderful week.